title for the message tonight is The Personal Salvation of a Lost Sinner. There's three important questions I'd like to bring to your attention this evening. And I'm going to mention the three. And the first one is, how can I know that I am a lost sinner? And the second in question is, how can a lost sinner be saved from his or her sin? And finally, how can I know that I am a saved sinner? Salvation is something very personal. It is between God and you. And I would just like you to put that I before it, because it's personal to every single one of us here tonight. We have in our reading, and it's only a short reading, and we have the coming together of a rich young ruler and the Lord Jesus Christ. There are other accounts of it in the New Testament that we think of in Mark 10 and Luke 19. We also have this account. So it's a very important. And even through the preaching of this word, many have been saved. The Lord uses it day after day. Here we have this young man, and he comes running to Jesus. He wasn't going to take his time. He was urgent about the matter. He wanted to get this thought that he had in his head. He wanted to get the answer to it. Because questions are a good thing to learn from. You not learn unless you ask people questions. And here this man had, and he comes on and he says, Master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? When you look through the scriptures and see how many times that I is in the Bible, right from Genesis, right to the book of Revelation, we see the word I. That makes it very personal. And whenever he brought this question to them, he was rich, needed nothing. And I'm sure all his friends were the same. But there's one thing that he couldn't buy, and that is eternal life. It wasn't on the market to buy. He couldn't get hold of it. So he came to the Lord Jesus Christ, and that was later on in his ministry, just before he went to Calvary. And he wanted it to be saved. He wasn't thinking of anybody else. He wasn't thinking of his neighbours or his friend. It was I. I know some people say that people just think of themselves all the time, and it's not a good thing. But then you have to look at the other side of the coin. When it comes to salvation, you have to look at I. It's important. You don't look to anyone else. You have to look at I. I. Maybe you're like this rich young ruler tonight. You're concerned about eternal matters. You would love to go to heaven, but you're yet not saved. Then the first question is, how can I know that I am a lost sinner? How do you know? The Bible tells us in Galatians 3 and 22, verse 22, and it says, the scriptures has concluded all under sin. You find it in the Word of God, this Bible. And it also says in Romans 8 and 12, wherefore as by one man the sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed unto all men, for that all have sinned. Who's he talking about? the one man. Of course, I'm sure you know that is Adam, the first man. And in Genesis 1 and 27, it tells us, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he them, male and female, created them. Made him from Adam from the dust of the ground. He had all his parts. And then God breathed upon under his nostrils. Man became a living soul. Remember how he put him to sleep? God took a rib from him and made woman. And how they became man and wife. Different. Male and female. There was no in between. Man and female. Man was pure. And God put him in the garden along with Eve. And there Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden. They had everything they could see. All the lovely fruit they could eat off it. But then God gave Adam a command. He gave it to Adam. And he says, the Lord God commanded the man, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Here we have God speaking of spiritual death and a physical death. But then there was also in the garden a serpent. And the devil entered in to the serpent. That old devil, that fallen angel, was cast out of heaven because he wanted to be equal with God. Now he comes into the serpent. And there the serpent came to Eve and said, Eve, God's not telling the truth. Thou shalt not surely die. And he kept on. And he said, your eyes will be open. You'll know good and evil. You'll know everything. You'll just be like God himself. And there Eve believed him. She was beguiled by Satan. And there she ate off it. And then she gave it to Adam. And Adam ate off it, and as soon as he ate off it, man, he became a sinner. And the eyes of them both were open. And they knew they were naked. Before, when they were put into the garden, they were naked. But there was no sin, and they were not ashamed. But now, once they've sinned, now they've seen their nakedness. They've seen their shame. They have seen their sin. And they tried to hide themselves. They tried to cover themselves with fig leaves. But they couldn't do it. And so many people today, and maybe you're like it, maybe you're not saved in this meeting tonight. When I look down, I know if ones here, some are saved. But I don't know everybody here tonight. But if you're in this meeting, not is saved. Your eyes are not opened. You need to have your eyes opened. And the Lord called unto Adam and says, where art thou? And Adam, he heard the voice in the garden. That's what he said to God. I heard thy voice in the garden. And I was afraid because I was naked. And I, again, hid myself. Adam knew clear and plain that now he was a lost sinner. He was a lost sinner. Do you personally think tonight that you're a lost sinner? You can't be saved unless you come to that place when you realize that you're lost and you can do nothing for yourself. That's the way Adam was. We know we're sinners by reading God's word. We think of the law itself. In Galatians 3 and 24, it tells us, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster. The law was so important. There was a law given there to Adam that he broke. But then we have the other laws, the Ten Commandments God gave to Moses for the children of Israel. And this is what we even have today. And it is a schoolmaster. It teaches us that we're only sinners, that we cannot keep the law of God. There's no way of trying it because we can't do it. And here we have a great picture of it here in the scripture reading here tonight. The rich young ruler. Jesus told him about keep the commandments. Keep the commandments. We read in verse 18 in Matthew's Gospel. And it tells us, and he saith unto him, which command, Jesus said, thou shalt not do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man thought on it, and he looked at, well, I'm not a bad fella. I don't break these commandments, those six commandments that Christ mentioned. I didn't do that. And he says, all these things I have kept from my youth. What do I lack yet? Is there something else forby these commandments? Maybe you're in this meeting tonight and you're like a rich young ruler and you think that you're good enough because you keep the commandments. You don't do anything wrong. You don't go over 30 miles an hour in the speed limit, what you're not supposed to do. You don't do any sin. There's no thoughts come into your heart and your mind. Oh, you're all right. You're perfect in your eyes. But this shows us that we're not perfect. Not perfect. And then we have the second question. How can a lost sinner be saved from their sin? It's all right, me talking about sin and telling we're all born in sin and shaping iniquity from our mother's womb. But how can we be saved from this sin? Adam and Eve were saved from their nakedness and sin. How were they saved? In Genesis 3:21 again, unto Adam also unto his wife did the Lord God make coats of skin and clothe them. God took an animal and was slain, and he made coats of skin. Blood had to be shed so that their sin would be covered. And that is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have that right through the Old Testament. We have pictures of the Lord Jesus Christ in it and the blood that was slain. The young ruler looked upon Jesus and he said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, this is what the Lord Jesus Christ said unto the young ruler, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. Now he understands something. There he is, just picture him with all his riches, everything that he needs, comfortable. And now he's come to that place, the desire of his heart was eternal life. He wanted to go to heaven. But now he's got to come down. He has to humble himself. He has to go and sell everything that he has and give to the poor, everything. All. Let me tell you, friend, tonight, if you're not saved, and that's what you have to do. You have to humble yourself. Realize that you're a lost sinner before a mighty God. You can do nothing yourself. You must take up the cross and follow Christ. You have to follow Christ. But You have to humble yourself first. This young man, he was downhearted. He wasn't expecting that. And many people today don't realize, oh, they talk about going to heaven, but they don't read the scriptures. They don't understand the scriptures. That the first step you have to take to be saved is to realize that we're only a lost sinner. And it's a personal thing. It's I. So you ask the question, I know now from reading the scriptures that I'm a lost sinner. And now I want to come to Christ. I want to be in heaven. That young man heard that saying. He went away sorrowful. He realized he had broken the first commandment, the very first one. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. He loved his materialism. Maybe you're in this meeting tonight and you love your materialism. But you must forsake it. Maybe it's your worldliness, your friends, the places that you go to, you'll not be able to go anymore. You have to do away with them, just like that young man would have had to do away with all that he had. Before you come to Christ, this is what you have to do. Forsake your sin. Forsake your sin. And a short time after that, the Lord Jesus Christ, he gave his life on the cross. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God sent not a Son into the world to condemn the world, but through him the world might be saved. Through the Lord Jesus Christ. And that wee verse tells it, whosoever, that is you, that is I, that wee word. Lord Jesus Christ, and how he was born of a virgin, he was pure, spotless, did great miracles and wonders before the people. And he taught the people in his 3.5 years ministry. He gave himself over to the people. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ could have done without going to the cross. But you see, this was a plan of God for our salvation from all eternity. And he suffered on that cross. He suffered. Do you know when the Lord Jesus Christ began to suffer? Do you ever ask that question? Well, let me tell you. I know I never read a book of any description. And what I get from is from the scriptures. And I read that the Lord Jesus Christ knew from all eternity that there was no beginning. He always suffered because God knew that man was going to sin. When he gave him his free will, he knew he was going to sin against him. And there he was, a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Jesus knew he always had to go to the cross and Calvary to suffer for you and I. All eternity. All eternity. And then as he come in his last steps to that great sacrifice, he gave himself over to the people, brought into the judgment hall. The innocent man was found guilty. There he died on that cruel tree. Crown of thorns on his beautiful brow. The nails in his hands and in his feet. Just think of the pain that our Saviour suffered as that cross was hoisted up into the socket in the ground. What pain he bore. It was for you and I, that we might be saved. And if you're not saved tonight, he done it for you. He done it for you. And then he was married. And remember how Joseph of Arimathea came and begged the body of Christ from Pilate. And he and Nicodemus, the one who came to Jesus by night, and how they embalmed him with spices and put in that sepulchre, and a big stone was rolled in front of it. But then God rolled the stone away. Hallelujah. The Saviour risen from the dead. And he was seen with his disciples for those 40 days. And he went in among them and talked with them. And it showed him really, truly that he was alive. And then he gave that great commission. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Beginning at Jerusalem. And then Judea. And then Samaria. And to the uttermost parts of the earth. And then while they were speaking, how he was taken up into heaven, met with a cloud, and he is taken up from his disciples. Two men with white apparel standing just close by said the same Jesus as you see him go is going to come again in like manner. Jesus has come again. Are you prepared for Christ coming again? And what happened then? He sat down in the Father's right hand after he purged our sin to intercede for his people. An unchangeable priesthood. And then in Hebrews 7 and verse 25 tells us he's interceding for the sinner now as well. You may say, well, how is he doing that? Well, we verse 7:25, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. He's interceding for you even this very moment. Are you going to come to Christ? Just as you are, realize that you're a lost sinner. And then finally, with this I close, how can I know that I am a saved sinner? How do you know you're saved? By faith. Through grace. That's how you know. By faith. The moment you're saved, the Holy Ghost enters in. We're reading Romans 8. And it says, if you have not the Spirit of God, you're none of his. So that means to say that the Holy Spirit is in every believer at all times. And that was from the very beginning. And how he teaches us the Word of God. He leads us. He changes our lives. You might be able to say even here tonight, oh, I couldn't do it. I couldn't come and get saved. I wouldn't be able to keep it. You see, as the Holy Ghost comes in, and he takes complete control. The moment night I was saved, I had a gamble on that same day. I was happy. I wasn't thinking about God's salvation. But God came and the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart that Saturday evening. And I never thought of all my sin. All I wanted to do was to get right with Christ. I just came as I was and asked the Lord Jesus to come into my heart. Yes, he comes in and he produces the fruit of the Spirit. There's 9 fruit of the Spirit we read about. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. The fruit, that's how you know a Christian. When you can see the product of God's salvation, that's a fruit of the Spirit. And let me say even to a believer tonight, and sometimes the fruit of the Spirit can get a wee bit low. And we don't have the same love. We only have maybe 50% of it, maybe even less. And the same with faith. And the same with temperance. We find it hard and we go places where we shouldn't go. Talk about things that we shouldn't do. We're not self-disciplined. That's what temperance is. Maybe you're feeling like that tonight. He's interceding for you. Just bring it to him and ask him to fill you to the uttermost.
but you will be able to do work and service for him and witness for him. And just let me give this application in closing tonight. Maybe you're just like this rich young ruler. You're happy. You have everything you need. But you would love to go to heaven because you have come to the meetings, you've heard, we've sung about heaven. You'd love to go to heaven. You'd love to have eternal life. You know, and if you could buy it, you'd be able to do it. It would be the best-selling product in the world today. Just like that, yes, young ruler, you cannot buy it. The only way that you can have God's salvation, the only way you can have eternal life and to be in heaven is to come as a sinner to Christ. First of all, realize that you're lost. Believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died on the cross on Calvary for your sin. And then you come, confess your sins to God. You repent of your sin. Repent of it. When you forsake your sin, this is the problem that this rich young ruler had. He didn't want to forsake all his goods. If I can be helped to you tonight, if you're not saved, don't go out of this meeting house tonight without Christ. And I pray these humble words will be a blessing to you and for God's people, that you will be encouraged. And as the fruit of the Spirit is flowing from your life, that people will see your testimony, because that's one of the greatest ways of witnessing to people, by living a life pleasing unto God.